Today is September the 11th, the year 2005. I'm here in Lexington, Tennessee, and I am at the home of Anna and Glenn Kirk, and I'm going to be speaking with Nicholas Wolford, who is the brother of Anna and the son of Vera. Vera and Nicholas.
Nicholas.
So this is one more member of the Wolford family that's going to be on tape at the Ellis Island Oral History Listening Room. Let's see. So Nicholas came here with his family in 1954. They left in March and arrived in April of 1954. And Nicholas was 14 and would be turning 15 the next month. Okay, this is Janet Levine for the National Park Service. And if you would say again, please, for the tape, your birth date.
May 28th, was born in 1939.
Okay, and again, would you say where you were born?
I was born in Kiev in the Ukraine, USSR, in a small village named Felsenthal.
Why don't you spell that for the tape?
F-E-L-Z-E-N-T-H-A-R-L.
And you mentioned earlier that translates to boulders.
Boulders, you know, like big boulders.
Yeah. So was it a rocky, a
it
rocky village?
Rocky. Southern Ukraine is kind of rocky.
Uh-huh. So the southern Ukraine is where you were born, and you were part of a German community there. Now, was that German community, was that along the Volga River?
It's close.
Close to the Volga. So there's actually written about Volga Germans.
It's called the Breitbeisgebiet.
Oh, the British.
Soviet Union. We was heavily involved in farming and business and just different things.
Yeah. Why don't you give, since you're the historian of the family, I see, why don't you give a little bit of the history of how the Germans came to settle where you were?
Katharina, we are Prussians, close to Königsberg, East Prussia. That's where my people originated. At that time, the ruler of the Soviet Union was Katharina the Great. And it ran between, I think, the later part of 1700, starting 1820, somewhere in there. She wanted the Germans to come to the Soviet Union and teach them how to farm. They couldn't even feed themselves, see? How to farm and be industrial.
Oh, I see. So it wasn't just to populate this area, it was to teach.
That was our purpose. Mm-hmm. We were given large land grants, which was ours, German community, middle of Russia. We was allowed to speak our own tongue and everything, and that lasted until Stalin came in power. It was abolished, Russian only.
Uh-huh. So that was actually before you were born.
Yes,
ma'am. So when you were born,
Stalin
was reigning and no more German.
I was raised speaking Russian.
Uh-huh. Whereas your father was raised speaking German, having been born there too. Yeah, right. Okay, so let's see. So now did you live... How long were you in Felsenthal?
When the German armies invaded Russia and was in the Ukraine, they gave us 24 hours to leave the Soviet Union. I was 3 years old at the time.
Oh, So now, do you have any memories?
Yes, ma'am, I do.
Really?
It's amazing. My grandmother, which stayed back, see, my granddaddy, my daddy's daddy, was killed by the communists.
Now that you would have been told. What were you told about your granddaddy being killed?
I was supposed to have been present when that happened, but I do not remember that. I think it was around supper time. They just come in and shot him. because he Prussian, German, he was outspoken, and that was forbidden against the, you know,
so,
his regime, you know.
So, in other words, the Soviets came in.
Mm-hmm. The communists.
Communists came in, and he spoke out. I suppose they wanted.
He spoke out in public, and they finally just caught up with him, you know.
So you don't remember that,
no.
But what do you remember?
I just remember that the granddaddy wasn't around anymore.
Oh.
That I didn't have no granddaddy.
Do you remember him? Do you remember anything?
No, ma'am. I just seen pictures of him. And as a kid, I always wondered how come I don't have a granddaddy, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what I was told happened. I was very young when that happened.
Now, how about your grandmother? Do you have any memories?
Yes, I do.
You do? What do you remember?
She kissed us and put us on the wagon. See, we formed a wagon train, similar like the American people did in St. Louis and Independence, Missouri, to go to Oregon and Washington. Mm-hmm. Go west.
West, uh-huh.
We was going west too, but it was back to the fatherland. Germany.
I see. Uh-huh. So tell me.
Grandmother stayed behind. She wanted to be by her husband. Grave, you know what I mean? All the people, we had our own cemetery. She just didn't want to leave. And hundreds of people didn't leave. And they all got shipped to Siberia afterwards.
Oh.
That's where she died.
Uh-huh.
Punishment, you know?
Yeah. So what happened? You were told you had to leave immediately.
Immediately. I remember they didn't even have time to get proper. We had a stable of fine horses and everything. They gave us a lame one and a blind one.
Oh.
Uh-huh. Punishment.
Yeah.
That's all you had to put on the wagon. I remember one was real tall and one was little.
Oh, uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Just barely remember all that.
Well, now, what do you know from being told, like, your father's position? He had a farm?
We owned land, but my daddy was a bookkeeper.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't farm, just farmed some. Because after granddaddy got killed, he took his place. He was the oldest. He helped Mama. We had many. He had many brothers and sisters. He helped raise them. He just took his daddy's place.
I see.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. But he was smart enough to be a bookkeeper, so he earned a decent income. Things was looking bad at the time under the communists.
Yeah.
They didn't pay no attention to us. We meant nothing, you know.
Now, do you remember anything about your experiences with your mother or father before you left the Ukraine?
Russia.
Yeah.
No, ma'am.
Yeah.
No,
okay.
All that is blank.
Yeah.
I just know
well,
like being loaded up. And we try to get away as far west as we can because the Russian winter's going to set in, see?
Oh, so I think your mother spoke about packing a lot of food and putting it on the wagon.
I don't remember.
You wouldn't know that. Yeah. Okay, so some people stayed.
Yeah.
Do you remember leaving?
Mm-hmm.
You do?
They all was lined up and hugging and crying and kissing. I'm involved in it.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Then it's blank all at once.
Yeah.
Then I just remember somewhere down the road.
Down the road on the wagon train?
Uh-huh.
And I guess it must have been a long trip.
Long trip, ma'am. It took quite a bit. See, we stopped in Poland.
Oh.
That's where Anna was born. Galicia or something like that, the name.
Galicia?
Uh-huh. That's where Anna was born.
I see. So
see, they gave us a home on a garden and everything that was originally, I think, owned by Polish Jews. Jewish people.
And they had been taken off?
But they probably eliminated or something.
Yeah.
It's just that situation. But all that was given to us because we're Germans. You know, there was such a big difference in those days, you know.
So now who would have given you that? The Poles?
German administrator.
Oh, German administrator.
German
administrator. I was under German administration.
Germany already got through with Poland. The armies already charged into Russia.
I see. So the Germans had taken over Poland, but they were going to be kind because you were German.
Yes, ma'am. We was Prussian, see?
Yeah.
We was given top priority.
I see.
My mother was forgiven because she was Greek. She was pardoned. Otherwise, I mean death sentence.
Because she was married to a German?
Mm-hmm. Daddy was valuable to the Germans because he spoke many languages. See, he started to be a translator then.
In Poland?
Uh-huh.
Oh, I see. Uh-huh. So how long did the family stay then in Poland?
Ma'am, I cannot answer that.
Okay.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, yeah. But you lived there.
Rumor was out, we done bad in Russia. We got defeated in Stalingrad. Remember the Battle of Stalingrad?
Oh, uh-huh.
And the rumor reached us. And the rumor was out that the partisans, what they call the Russians, the savages, fixing to come to Poland. They was pursuing the German army. See, we was going down here. So we packed up again and hit to the fatherland this time, Germany.
Yeah. Do you remember anything about your life in Poland?
Yes, ma'am. It was good life.
It was.
And they treated us decent. We had food and anything. The German army, even they was, majority was good people, fathers and everything. It's just a certain kind, like the SS and, you know. But the majority German soldier was just as kind as they could be. They fed us, they gave us things. Even when the war, when we got back to the fatherland, we'd be in bombs severely during the night by the English, by the Americans. But yet, the children had top priority for us food goes.
I see.
Onto the very last.
From the German army?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
German administration.
Yeah, uh-huh. I see. So when you were in, what memories do you have of your everyday life in Poland when you were there for?
We was in southern Poland. It was beautiful country. I remember everything being so green and I couldn't, we was hungry on the wagon train, you know, time we reached Poland. Food was short. And I remember this part. I couldn't believe them beautiful apples and pears hanging on the trees. And we was allowed to pick them and eat them, you know. Because they was ours.
I remember
that part.
Yeah.
And I remember the rumor, God, that the Russians come.
So that's why you had to pick up and leave again. Now, do you remember anything about your little brother? Were you kind of in charge of him? Or?
Anton? Yes, I always was in charge of him. But at that time, not as much like after we reached Germany.
I see. Because he was really practically a baby.
I had him hold back here. And I just, he just had a habit standing and looking. Well, you see, when after the bombers got through, everything in turmoil, people running every which way. That's after we reached Germany, you know. And he just had to stand on look.
Uh-huh.
I just grabbed him. We had to go somewhere where we was protected from the sky, you know.
Okay. So, what prompted your leaving Poland was that the rumor was the Russians were coming.
The Russians were coming. They was coming.
They were coming. So then, how did you leave? Wagon train?
Wagon train. And then later, the Germans had a special train set up. We got in a cattle wagon, whole bunch of us together in it, you know. A lot of them had open roof, it rained in.
Mm.
And again, we didn't have no food, no nothing much. Because Mama had three children there. Anna was with us, baby. We was fed.
So you started out on a wagon train, but then did you go by real train and the car in those cars?
Mm-hmm.
And were there a lot of people who had been in Poland, German people in Poland when you were there?
See, it was thousands of us came from Russia, you know, different part of Russia.
Mm-hmm. How about the Greek community? Was there any contact with them?
Yes, we had contact with them, and I remember camels.
Oh.
We were so close to the Greek border, see, at one time. And I was so amazed by camels, and one of them spit all over me. I remember that, you know.
Yeah, so your mother, but your mother really never had contact with anybody in her family.
No. Not till she went back to Russia here just years ago.
Right, right. Okay, so then you finally, you were on those cattle cars, mm-hmm. and you got to Germany.
Mm-hmm. I remember I was so fascinated. There was, some of them had toilets in it.
Oh.
And I just looked, and I couldn't believe the what you call the cross ties. How they went by.
Oh, you could see them. Yeah.
I was fascinated by that. I remember that like it happened yesterday.
And were you packed in these cars? There were a lot of people in a car.
Sardines, yeah.
Yeah.
We even seen trains going east. Similar situation. Met Jews and everything.
Ah.
Same way.
Uh-huh. And you passed each other. Wow.
But the only difference was their cars had German soldiers sitting on top of the roof.
With rifles, I imagine.
Ours was nothing.
Yeah.
I remember that part, you know.
Yeah. Wow.
I couldn't figure out what they're doing there, how they could set them without falling off, you know.
Right. Right. Well, now, how old would you have been when you actually arrived in Germany?
I was 5.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Well.
Took 2 years.
Yeah. So when you got to Germany, what was there for you?
Nothing much, ma'am. Everything was already in shambles, you know. And we just went from building to building. We usually lived under the staircases and stuff like that. Most of the buildings didn't have no roof on it. See, already bombed by the English. See, the English bombed us during the day and the Americans during the night.
Oh, wow.
And I remember just a lot of running, watching my brother. Mama had Anna in her arm, you know.
And of course, your father wasn't with you.
No, he was with the German army, yeah.
Do you remember, what's your earliest memory of your father?
Well, I've seen a lot of pictures, and I've seen him occasionally.
How did you come to see him?
Well, of course, I've seen him in Poland. Hit and run. When they was close by, we could see him, you know. But otherwise, I don't have no kind of memory, except this was still during the war. I think it was later part, 1944. We stayed in a big old basement of a hospital that was bombed, you know. And everybody had a corner, like you spread your blanket. There's the Wolford family, there's them, you know, all spread out over the building like that. And I never forget that the door opens up and this man comes in. Mama jumped up and just screaming and kissing, and I wouldn't have nothing to do. Ask Mama about that when you see her today. I wouldn't have nothing to do with that because Papa told me to take care of Mama, watch her.
Yeah.
And there she's doing that, you know.
Yeah.
I would not even speak to him. It took me a long time to realize it's my daddy.
Mm-hmm. Now, when did your daddy tell you to watch out after your mama?
In letters.
Oh. Uh-huh.
He would send us apples and so that he picked on the front. See, German soldiers had a lot of privileges, you know.
I see.
We would get a package from him occasionally. I remember it smelling so good, had apples on the inside, you know.
Wow. So he was inducted into the German army
as a translator.
As a translator, when he was in the Ukraine?
No, somewhat down the road, ma'am. I don't remember exactly, but when we met up with the German army, see, at one point the German armies was close to the Ukraine. See, they charged into Russia like what they call Blitzkrieg.
Uh huh.
And we met up with them, and they took Daddy.
I see.
Then we went into Poland, I believe that's right, by ourselves.
Right.
And then Daddy caught up with us again because he was in the German army. He had privileges, you know.
His privileges because he had that position.
He stayed with us a while. Of course, by the time Anna was born, he was gone again, I believe.
Do you remember when Anna was born?
That happened yesterday.
Really? Well, what do you remember?
My mama was mopping the floor and all at once she screamed out and all that. The next thing I know, she's laying on
the
bed. And she was up the same day and working. Same day.
Wow.
I remember that part.
Now, was she working on the farm in Poland?
Well,
or in the house?
In the house. We didn't actually have no job or nothing like that. Daddy's the only one that had the job with the German army.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Mama just taking care of the home. We had a big yard and orchard in the back and all that.
Wow. So you were treated well for that period, that little
period.
When
we was in Poland. And our wall collapsed when the word came out, the Russians
coming. They're coming. So how was it decided where in Germany you were going?
Nowhere particular. We just going.
You're just going.
No place.
Mm-hmm.
No place to go. That's why this thing in Louisiana makes us think so much of it. We have no place to go, no money, no food, no nothing, you know. Just going wherever we could get away from the bombs, you know.
So why did you stop where you did? And where was that in Germany?
Well, we stopped in several different places, mostly cities, and we realized pretty quick the cities weren't safe. So we started going in the country, and this farm family kind of got attached to us. It was called Bonninghausen, something like that. Had where the Seeburger See is. It's a big old lake. You see it on the German map clearly. That family took up with us, and they gave Mom a job, and we worked and all that. Daddy worked on the farm. Daddy was already home.
Oh, So,
See, Daddy took us away from the city, you know.
Oh, so he came to, you were in the city first in Germany, and he and your father came there?
Yes, that particular night I just mentioned, he come into the door and I wouldn't.
Oh, right. That was in the city in Germany.
It was to state, yeah. I don't know exactly what city.
Yeah.
It was somewhere in the eastern part.
Uh-huh.
It was bombed heavily, so it must have been important, you know.
I see. And so then your father said you should get away.
From that particular place. And then right before the war ended, we settled down in a place called Duderstadt. It's in the edge of the Harz Mountains, close to Nordhausen, where German missile project place was.
You know?
That's where we settled down, and that's where we was when the war ended.
I see, and that was where that family was that you were that your father worked for.
No, we left there.
You left there.
He worked for a farmer.
A farmer.
Oh, Guckel.
Right.
That's who he worked for. We was there before the war ended. I remember hanging bed sheets out and everything white and waving out of the window, surrender, you know. So they quit shooting at us, you know.
So what do you remember about the Guckel?
They was nice people, because they called us Russians.
Oh.
And Russian, just like the Polish and the Jewish, we was undesirable.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
They wouldn't let the kids play with us because we was Russians.
Yeah.
See, I had to learn German after I spoke Russian, see?
Yeah.
But then when they found out that we was more Germans than they was, we was Prussians. Place like Hindenburg, Bismarck, they're Prussians, you know?
Yeah.
Then they treated us different.
Oh.
It made so much difference in Germany, who you are, you know?
Oh, So were they, in other words, in the Nazi agenda, you were higher up as Prussians than Perhaps they were, whatever they were.
That's one reason my mama was forgiven, that she was Greek, see?
Because she was married to a Prussian.
Uh-huh.
If she had been married to a lower class German...
That mean concentration camp.
Whoa. Uh-huh. Yeah.
See, the gypsies, and the homosexuals, the Jews, the Polish, the Russians, they was undesirable under Hitler, you know?
Yeah.
They wasn't fitting to live, you know? So,
yeah. As a little boy, what did you know about, like, the Nazis? And
well, I was fascinated. I would hear, when we lived in the cities, while Daddy was still up on the Eastern Front, when I could hear music, I would run to the corner. And usually the German army comes marching by, all in goose-stepping, all singing. They're always singing.
Mm-hmm.
Went by, and I was just fascinated.
It was exciting, I mean, because you didn't know.
Yes, exciting. It was very exciting and to me. And the bombers during the night, and I was just excited.
Uh-huh.
I was hungry and didn't have no clothes, but I was excited. It just, up to this day, when I see a schwarzsticker, it just does something. I don't know why, but it sure does. And it's something.
Yeah. Well, I guess everyone was excited by it. I mean, that was the idea, right? To rouse people up. Yeah.
I remember this, Goebbels, he was a propaganda minister, I'm sure you heard
him.
Little old clumpfoot fella, you know, dark.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, I remember slogans, big banners all over the cities. Like it says, unsere Mauer tun fallen, but unser Herz belongs to Hitler. Our walls are fallen, but our heart belongs to him.
Uh-huh.
They were all like that, you know, slogans and music. And,
I
remember the day when they announced that our Führer died defending Berlin. I remember that.
Oh, really?
He committed suicide. You know, everybody knows what happened.
Yeah. And what was it like that day in Germany?
It was sad. We cried.
Really?
Brainwashed, man.
Yeah. Wow.
See, we didn't know much about God. I was, after the war, this is interesting, I learned about Jesus Christ, that he was born in a manger in Bethlehem. And it's sad. And I was already way up there, you know, finally learning all that.
Oh, because you had never had any...
Well, you know, the Germans ain't gonna tell us nothing but a little Jewish boy in a manger, you know.
Yeah, right.
To celebrate him. I mean, that's a no-no, you know.
Right, right.
And how fascinating that was to hear all that. They made us go to church. We had church classes in school. We had to take it. That was mandatory.
And what was the church? What church?
Belonged to Lutheran.
Oh, But I thought that when Hitler was in power, people were still going to church?
They going to church, ma'am. They was preaching about God, the Old Testament.
I see.
Every soldier wore a belt buckle, and it says, God mit uns, God be mit us. That New Testament was left out.
Out,
Like it didn't exist, you know.
I see. So really, they must have altered the Lutheran religion to eliminate the Jesus Christ part.
Well, the churches had to obey.
The church, sorry?
They had to obey.
Obey, yeah, right, right. Yeah, wow.
Everything had to fit in with the organization.
Yeah, right.
Everything did. The Germans are very efficient and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So,
another story I learned, and it's still sticking, Mimi. But the Good Samaritan.
Oh, you learned that later here?
No.
There?
Yeah. Uh-huh. But see, I didn't know none of them Bible things.
Uh-huh.
It was so fascinating to learn all that, you know?
Yeah. So what do you remember when you learned about the Good Samaritan? Why, that it struck you so much?
Well, about him trying to help, and then, you know, he got dropped and beaten and all that. That kind of brings memory back. See, I seen where the Jews was beaten in the streets, you know what I mean?
Oh, you saw that?
Gosh, yes, ma'am. One instance now, when we came to East Berlin with on the train,
mm-hmm.
I don't even know the place or nothing like that where we stayed. There was a lot of shooting going on the west side, on the east side of the house. And I had tall windows, and the windows was covered up similar like a potato sack, burlap. And Mama told me to stay away, not to go look, you know. Because I'm a typical German, I walk up the front, you know. I seen men, women, and children, women clutching babies. And there was a German machine gun set up and shooting them in a hole.
Wow.
I seen it. There's no fairy tale, no nothing. I seen it.
Right. And so how did that affect a little boy?
Well, not much.
Uh-huh.
We was told they worse than animals. You know what I mean? See, everything was taken care of, you know.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So we didn't have no kind of feeling, nothing, till I got older. And I learned about all that.
Right.
Bothered me, you know.
Yeah. Well, I want to ask you this, and I don't want to forget. When you were little, you experienced so much, and yet you didn't have the bigger context of, you know, what it meant or what. But then when you got older and you started, what was that like to, like, have these memories and then to put them into, you know, an intelligent story of what was going on?
It was just mid times. Just the situation we was on. I understood enough that you shall not kill and all that. Then Hitler saying in poems that they are undesirable, that World War I started and so many Germans got killed because of Jews, you know what I mean? A combination of all that. Something said it's wrong, something said it's right. It's just very confusing.
Yeah.
It was very confusing, yeah.
Well, it must have been, in a way, fascinating to start to piece it all together later.
Fascinating, ma'am.
Yeah.
That's why I'm still, when I see Germans on television in uniform, it just does something to me. I'm old. I mean, I'm 66. But it still excites me, that part. How brave they was. And then the bad part. See, the SS was raised on breeding farms in Germany. That was raised under Hitler, you know.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
They were usually blonde and tall and day or by. I mean, there.
Did you ever encounter any SS?
I seen them everywhere. They was visible everywhere. They wore black uniforms, you know. I mean, was always amazed how tall they was, you know.
Yeah. And you looked up to them?
Yes.
Because, yeah.
You don't know the difference at that time. See, all this come later, after the war, you know.
Mm-hmm.
All that was exposed. Yeah. We look up to everything. We want to be just like him. We had a lot of party days, what you call. When I won awards for saying, stand on top of Baal and saying, Hail Hitler, better than anybody.
Oh, mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Well, now, were you inducted or whatever into the Nazi youth?
No, ma'am. I wasn't old enough.
Oh, you weren't
I
old
enough. I just couldn't wait.
Oh, but you wanted to.
Bad. Yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah. So did you know any Jewish people at all?
After the war.
After, but not then.
No.
Yeah.
When you've seen very many, except the instance I'm telling you where they were shot in a hole, because that's from watching from a distance, you know. But we'd just seen a lot of pictures. They were dark, small, with long noses, just they told us not to take candy from them, you know what I mean? There was still someone loose and that kind of thing, you know.
Yeah.
Goebbels took care of everything. See?
Yes. Uh-huh. Wow. Now, you lived at some point not far from the east-west
that was
border.
Later, yeah. That's when we settled down. That's where we lived up to the present before we came to the United States.
Oh, okay.
Called Duderstadt.
Right.
The border was like a I don't know, ma'am, like 2 miles away, something like that, you know.
Okay, well, then before we talk about that, let's go back to the Glockels. Glockel?
Glockel. Franz Glockel.
Glockel. Now, somehow your mother and father...
They both worked for him.
They met them and they told them that your father could work...
They was looking for a family.
Oh.
To help on the farm. They had a big, what you call a demonstration farm. In other words, in when you go to school, in high school, hard learning in Germany, especially the women, they got to have some training on the farm, how to grow vegetables and how to cook and wash and all that. Glockel was one of them places. They always had young people.
I see. So your mother could train the girls and your father...
Well, my father worked for Glockel. Mama just a very short time, she went and worked for a nursery.
Oh, that's where she worked. Uh-huh.
She worked in strawberries and flowers and all that. That's where she worked up to the day when we left.
I see. So the family had enough food while you were there?
Daddy mostly worked for food and a place to stay.
Right.
There's no money much involved, very little.
Uh-huh. Now, did you go to school at all while you were there?
When I turned 6, I went to school in the first grade, yeah.
While you were working on,
In Duderstadt, yeah.
In Duderstadt. Okay, so let's see. What prompted the family to leave the Glockel farm?
Well, we came to the United States. Just...
Did you get your papers when you were there?
But you applied for a visa. Of course, they had to check Daddy's background because he was in the German army, you know, though he was a translator, but... He had to check all that. They had to check all that, see if he committed any crimes against Jews or Polish or anything. Uh-huh. Everything checked fine.
Uh-huh.
We finally got a visa to come to the United States.
Now, you mentioned earlier that you could have perhaps gone to Argentina or Canada. Why did the family, your mother and father, I presume, decide the United States?
Well, I kept talking about Texas all the time and all that. And
how did you know about cowboys?
We watch Y'all Leftover. In other words, when y'all watching a movie in this country, when y'all got done with it, it came to Europe.
So you went to a movie theater?
Uh-huh. We had a movie theater in Duderstadt. See, ma'am, Duderstadt and all them farm villages, thousands of them, they was untouched by war. We had an alley up there, which was a fashionable shop, and you could do on it in Duderstadt, called the Judenstrasse.
Judenstrasse?
No, Juden.
Juden.
Jewish.
Juden.
Uh-huh. Jewish are very enterprising business people.
Right.
They had the shop set up and that would you buy the latest suits and shoes and what jewelry, whatever. That street was smashed. Hatred, you know what I mean? All the windows were for. That's the only thing you could tell in Duderstadt there was a war.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. So but all the Jews were taken away. Right. Yeah. So But you were still on the farm when your father applied, but it took a while.
Yes, it took a while. Yes.
Took a while. Yes. And was there? Why did your mother and father decide on the United States? Do you know? Well, because you like cowboys or?
Well, it's not just that the Americans was good to us. Oh. See, no matter how high-ranking German officer you was in 1945, you want to be captured by the Americans. You don't want to be captured by the Russians or nobody else, you know. But the Americans was just kind people. We met some. They always give us Wrigley chewing gum, Hershey bars. You know, they're just good people. We thought we'd just go
there.
It's America, uh-huh. You know.
Now, when did your father... was he in the German army as an interpreter up until the war was over?
No, ma'am. When the everything got in disarray. The Russians was coming, the Germans being beat back to Germany. There was no need for a translator, see. His job was finished.
I see. So he was allowed to leave.
And he was allowed to leave, and the war wasn't over yet. It was like a later part in 44. I think Daddy could tell you probably more of that. But it was like 44. The war still was raging in Germany.
And that's when he worked on that farm.
Remember, we went to air raid shelter. We lived in a big city, like I said, always in the basements or somewhere. And we went in that, I remember that like yesterday. And there was a lady sitting there, and looked like her nose got blown off sometime or another. And I just kept talking about that, you know. I never seen a person with no nose. You know?
Yeah.
I remember that.
Well, that was before your father came and said, you shouldn't be in the city. Was that where that was, in that city?
Yeah, right before that, yeah.
Yeah.
We were still in a city.
Yeah.
Right afterwards, we started going to the country.
Right.
See, ma'am, you couldn't go nowhere much. All the roads was blocked. All the bridges blowed up. It's just mostly on foot, and you only travel at night through the woods, you know.
Uh-huh.
It just takes a while, you know.
At the time, as a child, were you frightened?
Mm.
No.
Mm.
And
excited.
Yeah, yeah. Now,
my mom had done something not many can say. We lived in Hannover, Minden, which the Wehre on the Fulda River, yeah, I don't know if you ever heard of them or not, they run together.
Spell it, spell where you lived.
Hannover, Minden, Hannmunden, Hannover, Minden.
Okay.
That's where the Wehre and the Fulda, big old rivers, run together and form the Weser, okay? We stayed in that city, we stayed in an old bombed out hospital right on the water. There was a big old bridge, and we finally got whole little money. Daddy wasn't with us at that time. That's right before he come join us. I crossed the bridge over the Weser, on the other side was an ice cream shop. I just got to that side, it was closed. I was coming back, and Mama met me about halfway on that bridge, a big bridge, on the English, I think there was, bomb was coming. Mama grabbed me, we run, trying to get back on the other side, and the bridge blowed up right behind us. I remember that.
Wow.
When I remember on the river, everywhere barges was bottom side up, boom. Because I was excited.
Yeah. Your mother was, I'm sure, not so excited as you. Uh-huh. Yeah. Wow. okay, so once you got the papers, and I have heard from other members of the family, it was harder because there were so many, by the time you left, there were four children, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it was harder to get to come here.
Mm-hmm.
Because you were...
We had to have a sponsor.
Uh-huh.
And your senator at that time in this country named Kefauver.
Mm-hmm.
He was one of our sponsors.
Oh.
Uh-huh. And there was Lois Kelly. He was like a representative to Nashville.
Oh, and he was your sponsor.
We lived on his place when we came to this country. You had to have sponsors that take responsible for you for 5 years. After 5 years, you make American citizen.
Uh-huh.
So between those two, they worked it out. We was one of the last families from Europe. You know, from then on, they didn't take no more Europeans.
I see. So do you know how... Well, maybe you wouldn't have known, but how Kefauver became involved?
Lois Kelly, he had political... Kefauver was from Tennessee.
Oh,
I
see. And now you had an aunt and uncle in Tennessee.
Yes.
So they must have contacted Kelly,
They contacted Kelly.
Uh-huh.
And they told him that she had a brother that needs to come. Hard-working family, but they got four children, see? And the ball started rolling. Next thing we know, we got okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, now let's discuss your life in Duderstadt. That was near the border.
Yes, it was fascinating, ma'am.
Tell what was it was.
My first Christmas I experienced in there. Duderstadt is a little remote village in the foothills of the Harz Mountains. And there was good people, except a few, you know, that didn't like Russians. They call us Russians.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I started going to school. That's where we celebrated Christmas.
How did you celebrate it?
Well, we didn't have much, but we went to church and learned all about what's Christmas all about. And after church services, everybody would gather outside and sing.
Huh.
You know that.
Carols.
All night. That's German too. You know that.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Right. Yeah.
And all that, and then we walk home, and it'd be snowing. Big old flakes. I remember all that. Always snowed at Christmas, you know.
Uh-huh.
People zoom by on sleds with bells on it. Of course, we had to walk, you know.
Uh-huh.
All that kind of thing.
Now, where did you live when you were when you lived in Duderstadt?
We lived with the Gockels.
Oh, that's where the Gockels were.
We lived in their home. See, Daddy worked for them.
Oh, that he was still working for them, and that's what was near the border. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Gockel's farm was just, you could see, you get on a high point, you could see the watchtowers and the Russian soldiers and all that, you know.
Well, now Anton mentioned that there was dirt and you could see footprints if people...
He probably talking about the Russian zone on the border. They kept it plowed.
Oh.
And they check for footprints.
Right.
That's what he's talking about. It's plowed disc. Glenn and myself, Anna's husband, we went there.
Uh-huh.
We was there before the wall came down.
Oh.
We seen the Russian soldiers. We seen what you call no man's land. They keep a disc, and that's a minefield, see?
Uh-huh. Wow.
Us kids, we found a way to go to the ditch. We went on the other side. There was a place called Running a Road, the name. You could buy bread for 1/4 less than you could buy on our side. We would get sack and bring bread home, see?
And you didn't get caught?
Yeah, I got caught.
And what happened?
The German border guards called us and warned us and all that. And
you got a warning?
They knew what we was doing.
Yeah, uh-huh. Well, it sounds like the German army border guards were kind of lenient with you.
Everybody was lenient.
Yeah, uh-huh. So is there anything else about Duderstadt that you remember?
No, it's just...
You went to school there.
We just had a life up there, life we never knew, you know, existed.
It was a better life than
better
you knew,
life.
Uh-huh, than you
we
had known.
With Mama and Daddy, we had own living quarters. We go to movie, Duderstadt had movie theater. We didn't know things like that can be done, you know.
Uh-huh.
We thought the whole war was in war. That's the way the life is, you know.
The life is war.
War, misery, and death. And we experienced the life we didn't think there was. Church, you go and sing, but you go on vacation.
Oh, you went on a vacation too?
See, ma'am, the German government regretted so much what happened. I was skin and bones. They would send you off to a place, like I went to the North Sea, called Langeoog. It's one of the islands in close to Helgoland.
Oh, okay.
Right there in the North Sea. And where they feed you and give you vitamins and work on your skin. See, my skin was dark as the night. No vitamins. See, I never had no vitamins, no milk, no nothing. you know how you get.
Yeah.
They gave us milk and they fed us, and I could stay a month.
Wow. Uh-huh. Now, did your brother go with you?
Anton was kind of chunky.
He didn't have to go.
But Anna was skin and bones.
Uh-huh.
They sent Anna to Switzerland for uh-huh. quite some time with her foster parents.
Right. Now, but when you went to a camp?
It's a camp, ma'am.
And there were other kids like you?
A lot of other kids, just like me, girls and boys. See, in German schools, girls and boys don't go together.
Oh.
They separate,
yeah.
See. And Catholics and Lutherans don't go in one school. It's separated. And up there, we went girls and boys together. We just had a good time, you know?
Uh-huh.
Playing games, something I never knew existed, you know? Everything was new to me.
Yeah.
It's like being born again, you know?
Yeah.
1945.
Uh-huh. So when you went to that camp, the war was over then?
War was over. Yeah, it was quite a bit over. I went to that camp, like, I think the first camp I went to was 47.
Oh.
Then they sent me, I'm still skin and bones. They sent me to another camp in 53.
Oh.
Uh-huh. That was directly in the Harz Mountains, not far from Nordhausen.
Uh-huh.
The mountains. And that's where one morning Daddy popped up and took me home. We're going to America.
Oh. Do you remember that moment, how you felt about that?
It's good.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. So, let's see. So were you working or you were in school mostly?
I'm just in school. I wasn't old enough to work.
Yeah.
Yes, we worked, ma'am. We all worked hard. The whole family had to work hard if we weren't in school. We worked for Gokel.
Mm-hmm.
Gokel was in growing tobacco and all kind of stuff. And it's so much work with tobacco, you know. Sugar beets and different stuff. I was always to do something on the farm. He raised a lot of potatoes, had a lot of chickens. Eggs for sale, potatoes for sale.
So what did you personally do on the farm?
I done everything.
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 It was difficult to do it.
And how was learning German for you?
Well, it was slow going, you know, because the German kids, even though war was over and they got defeated, they still was pretty cruelty going on, you know, against
the Russians.
Different people, you know.
So they were still calling you Russian?
Yes, just calling us Russians. The parents, a lot of them wouldn't let the children play with us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mama always dressed us so nice and clean. And we always had a nice haircut, but yet we were not desirable, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It was so much difference, yeah.
Yeah.
But we just blended in. We didn't pay no attention. We were so glad just to have a home and eat and uh-huh. When they call us something, we felt bad there for a moment, but we bounced right back.
Mm-hmm.
Anna took it hard, you know. And
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But we bounced right back, you know.
Yeah. So in other words, there was like a real contradiction. I mean, here you were excited by the whole Nazi excitement of that, and yet you weren't really being treated like a German because they were calling you a Russian. So you really had a mix.
Yes, ma'am, it was, but by having a home and having a family, we're a strong family, you know.
Yes.
Mom and Daddy raised us right, you know.
Yeah.
Being together and doing things together, we just didn't pay no attention to that part. It hurt our feelings, they know that about that, you know.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
We just bounced back. We approached, how you say, forget about today, approach tomorrow, see what happens.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
That's what Mom and Daddy taught us, you know.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, can you think of anything else that your mother and father tried to instill in their children?
I was the oldest. I always took care of everybody, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I always made sure things stay clean because Mom and Daddy both work and then I don't want them to come home to a nasty house. And I made sure. I done it early age, cleaning and
uh-huh.
making our brothers and sisters behave, you know. And sometimes I had to wallop them one, you know, but trying to make it pleasant as we could for Mom and Daddy, you know.
Yeah. So as the oldest, you had really responsibility, a lot of responsibility. Did you have any, what do I want to say, preferential treatment because you were the oldest? Was there a positive side to your being the oldest besides all the responsibility?
I just want everybody mind me.
Oh, that's, I see. You're in charge. I see.
I told it board. I see in those days there was no one on board and nothing like that.
Right.
Same thing when we came to this country. We had a wood stove. In other words, you cook on wood stove. See, mm-hmm. back in the 50s.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you from New York? Or
well, I grew up in a rural part of New Jersey, so we didn't have water also for
we
a period.
To work hard. Mm-hmm. Up here, in this country I'm talking about, I always had to cut the wood and chop it for mama. I have plenty to mm-hmm. throw the water before in school every day. But even in this country, after we came, we was treated same as we was treated in Germany.
As an outsider, but now because you were German, not yeah. because you were Russian. Right.
Yeah, because we couldn't speak, everybody making fun. We went to school up in a little rural town called Scottsdale, population like 500, you know what I mean? And everybody just fun over us. And
yeah. How was the school in Germany compared with the one you came to?
Very strict. Mm-hmm. You had to sit straight, had to have your hands on the thing. You say yes ma'am or no ma'am, yes or no sir, babe. You better not be cold. If you happen to be in town and your teacher walks by, you tip your hat and speak, or you're going to hurt bad. Mm. Respectful, in other words. Mm-hmm. A lot of respect.
Yeah. And that wasn't the case when you got
no,
here?
No, not at all.
No. Uh-huh. Okay, so your daddy came and he got you and he said, we're going to America.
I couldn't wait. Everybody lined up. We talked about like a couple of hundred other kids, you know.
Oh.
Boys and girls, they all lined up and hugged me and all that.
You mean they from the camp?
Uh-huh.
They were going too?
No, ma'am.
No.
They just wishing me goodbye and good luck. Oh. They all lined up. I had to go.
And so that must have made you feel very important and right. lucky, huh?
Yeah, I'm going to America. I'm going to see cowboys.
Yeah, uh-huh. Uh-huh. Do you think other of those children, because they were also there
yes,
to get ma'am. Fattened
they
up, right?
They ran some.
Yeah.
Same. See, we was what you call in German, all of us Flüchtlinge. Flüchtlinge means displaced people. See, we're originally coming from Russia. We was displaced because of the war and all that. We had special treatment, you know, by the German government, not by the civilians, citizens, you know
right.
what I'm saying? They was cruel. But the German government gave a special treatment.
What did the special treatment involve? Do you know?
Well, they try to make sure we get housing, make sure we get, if we had between jobs or can find a job, they furnish you money. I mean, mm-hmm. well, we didn't call it welfare like it does in this country. Because we was displaced due
that's
to
right.
German action, you know what
right.
I mean? If they left things alone, we still would have been living in Russia.
Right.
Know? We had a good life.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And, they made sure you have things to eat and clothes, and always somebody would come and see you.
I see. So
it was, I tell you how efficient they was, even during the war. Daddy didn't know who we was. Everything was in turmoil. He went to the German Red Cross. Well, they located Mama.
Wow.
That's all.
Yeah.
He knew exactly what door to come in, that we was on the blanket in the corner, you know.
Wow. Well, now, had your mother tried to find your father? Is that how the Red
no,
Cross knew?
The ones that you came.
You no, you couldn't.
You couldn't. Uh-huh. Remember, it's so hard to understand what went on.
Yeah.
To me, it was excitement, but constantly bombing and people running every which way, and there's so many children got lost, never to be found. See what I mean? Van der Pop in a canned meat, you know, there was a rumor was out, you know.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
At that time, so that's why I had to my brother. I held him.
Yeah.
No matter what went wrong, wherever I had run, entered in the back, you know.
Uh-huh.
If it wasn't for me, he wouldn't have been here today, or he wouldn't be.
He'd be standing, he would have been standing and looking and...
He disappeared, yeah.
Yeah.
I just grabbed him, I remember that.
Uh-huh.
I had a alarm clock in my hand.
Oh, right.
Anton carried a peapod. Right.
Why'd you have the alarm clock, I wonder?
I have no idea. It had some kind of meaning. I don't know why. It came all the way from Russia. Something.
Do you still have the clock?
No, ma'am.
Oh, well.
And we lost everything
in
the final days.
Yeah.
We lost all our pictures and very, very few pictures. The German army, when we was boarding the train after the Reagan train, they made us take all our suitcases and throw them on a big pile.
Oh.
We lost everything out there. We didn't have just what Mama had on her body, you know,
right.
Maybe a little package or something, birth certificate. A lot of it we had to send for, you know.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, we're at the end of the first tape, so let's stop here. I'll change the tape and we'll keep going, okay?
Okay, ma'am.
Okay, great.